look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
Well, the Giants try to break that five-game losing streak today. They go to Jeff Samardzija, the former split end wide receiver for Notre Dame, and Chad Kuhl, University of Delaware, goes for the Pirates today, 4-2 with a 4.12 earned run average. This is start number 200 for Samardzija, and for Chad Kuhl, 25 years old, start number 53 in his career. We now join Bruce Jenkins. Bruce, how are you?
Hey, Marty. Good morning.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you something. Boy, the ups and downs of a baseball season. My goodness, last weekend, you know, things are going great, and they win three, and they walk into Philadelphia, and it looks like they're facing, Bob Feller, Rube Waddell, and Sandy Koufax.
Yeah, I'd be hard-pressed to actually recall the names of those guys outside of Nola. All I know is they throw really hard, and the Giants are striking out, and it's grim times right now. And, they're struggling so badly to get their starters to go deep in the games, and you see all these hard throwers around. You know, they're, I guess, personified by the Dodgers kid, Walker Buehler. You know, I mean, this is sort of the way things are going right now. And the Giants, you know, they don't have, they like Stratton and Block and Beattie and Suarez and these guys, but they don't have that guy who really just blow people away, even if he doesn't necessarily have his best stuff. These guys, you know, rely a lot on their command, and they're great when they have it, and when they don't, they're not so great.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I want to talk a little bit about this with you, and Tim Flannery went on a rant last night on Comcast about it. All the strikeouts, and, when you strike out 15 times in a game or 16 times in a game, there's only 27 outs. You know what I mean? There's 11 times maybe you're putting the ball in play, and of those 11 outs, maybe three are hard-hit balls.
Yeah, I'm right with Flannery, and he's constantly tweeting out stuff about, you know, the reality of what makes a good hitter. And it's not, you know, just trying to launch a 450-yard drive, you know, down the fairway. It's you know, it's situational. It's hitting up the middle. It's hitting to the right side. It's hit and run. You know, there are times in games when, you know, the whole launch angle and let's hit it out of the park thing is not the right play, and it's getting away from us. Jason Stark said there have been more strikeouts than hits in the big leagues this year, which is pretty scary. And, you know, we're losing the real artists, you know, of hitting. You know, guys like Tony Gwynn, Rod Carew, George Brett. And I got to tell you, today's Yogi Berra's birthday. If he were still alive, I think he'd be 93. Mm-hmm. I'm looking this guy up. He had a year where he hit 30 homers and struck out 24 times. Mm-hmm. He had four straight years where he drove in 100 runs, and he was never more than 32 strikeouts. I mean, he had it all, and you need to look at the situation you've got, and not necessarily swing for the fences. And of course, the shifts have had an awful lot to do with it, Marty. Last night, Houston stacked up against Joey Gallo, who was obviously a deadpool power hitter. They had six guys on the right side of the diamond, so they're basically telling you, all right, if you're going to pull the ball like you like to do, you have to hit it out, pretty much. Otherwise, it's going to be an out. I'm getting real tired of that. I've always thought that you can play in any sport. You can play any defense, any defense you want. You could set up five guys around the basket so nobody can dunk on you, or you can just do anything. You can all dress up in clown outfits if you want to, but you can do anything you want. But I'm really getting tired of the shifts. The radical shifts are getting on my nerves.
Well, we'll see if baseball adjusts to that. Jason Stark wrote a big article about it, and I'm sure you saw it in The Athletic this week. The great Jim Cott last night, and I respect Jim Cott. I love listening to him on the air. He said they ought to make game seven innings. So the starting pitcher now can be a factor in the game. And you turn the game around. But here's one of my thoughts. Today to pitch, you've got to pitch up in the strike zone. Mm-hmm. And you see more catchers. I never remember catchers sort of sitting up and with the, you know, almost not in the squat, as Krug likes to say. But getting the pitch up in the strike zone, if it's getting called, that's where you want to throw the ball, because then you can't get under it to hit the ball out. Now, when I look at the Giant pitchers, Samardzija is one guy who could do that. Bumgarner could probably do it. Cueto is all over the place. He's a pitcher. But what's left of Holland and Suarez and Block and Stratton, they don't pitch up there. And in today's game, if you don't pitch up there, you're going to get hurt. And I think that's the reason they get too much of the plate low. And the launch angle thing is so crazy in baseball that these guys are hitting it out.
Well, I think a lot of guys are reluctant to pitch up there because the strike zone strikes aren't called up there. There was a time when the strike zone was, you know, peaked at the letters. And why wouldn't it? The letters is wheelhouse. Yeah. Well, you know, to stop it around or just above the belt is ridiculous. If they raise the strike zone to the letters, it would cut down a great deal on launch angle because you just can't. You can't. If you try to launch a pitch at the letters, more often than not you're going to pop it up. Especially with all the different pitches guys throw today. I mean, you can't. It's really hard to guess on something. You just know that if it's low, you're going to launch it. But if the guy's mixing it up and coming in high. If he needs that option. If you don't get the high strike, you're in big trouble pitching, especially these days.
So what does baseball do? I mean, Jason Stark wrote the whole article echoing a lot of what you said about the shifts and limiting relief pitchers where they've got to face two or four batters and that kind of stuff. Do you think baseball does anything dramatic? I mean, they haven't done anything dramatic since 1903.
Well, the DH is pretty dramatic for my money, but first of all, you gotta make sure that the strike zone, the top of the strike zone, is at the letters. I think you should expand the rosters by a couple of players and put a limit on pitching staffs. You're only going to get 10. Okay, live with it. And those are two things that come quickly to mind. 7 innings, you can't do that. I mean, the whole baseball is such a stat oriented game, and if all of a sudden the game is 7 innings, it skewers everything. It launches a whole new era that starts from scratch in like 2020. You know, the shifts are really bothersome. Rob Manfred a couple of years ago said that they should limit the shifts and I was just laughing at him. It's like, you can't do that. But I'm truly starting to wonder if maybe you can't cross that line, that second base line, if you're the shortstop, or the third baseman. I don't know. Those are some of the things that come to mind. But I think the strike zone is big, and I just think hitters, coming through the minor leagues, should be taught situational hitting, as opposed to everybody trying to imitate Justin Turner.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think something's got to be done. I think the game has changed to the extent where, again, if you go to the game and you're seeing 15, 16 strikeouts, you're not seeing action. And once the starter is gone, they bring in the relievers who face one batter throwing 95 or 97. And we saw with Philadelphia, and I'll tell you something, Pittsburgh's got the same thing. Other than George Contos, you get the starter out. If Chad Kuhl goes 6 innings today or 7, you've got 3 guys coming in throwing 98 to finish it off.
Kyle Crick's in there.
How about Crick and that Vasquez, who used to be Lopez, he's coming in, to finish it off. So, wow, what a game. It's interesting because we live in a world now where we don't show that much respect for, the traditions and, where things have come. And, things are changing so quickly that maybe there will be. Maybe baseball will say, hey, we have to change our game a little bit. And I never thought I'd be saying it, but I think baseball may actually do it because there's a concern with the way it's going. All right, let's segue into something a little more positive. How about Facebook?
That's positive?
How about
Andy Baggerly had a classic Facebook rant within his story about the Giants not being available to be seen on TV outside of Facebook. That was ludicrous. I mean, if you want to stream it through Facebook, go ahead, but don't demand the fans to be signed up for that or bust. I mean, if you sign up for NBC, Sports Bay Area to watch the Giants, you better be able to watch them. If you pay all that money, which I do, for MLB extra innings, you better be able to see the games. I mean, it's just comical. It's denying fans the product. It's diminishing the audience. There's not one good thing about it.
No, Rich Walsh is going to be on with us later today, and he's doing some of the games on Facebook. He used to do the Marlin game, so I want to get his take on preparing for this. But you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of watching TV in 1952. You know, it would look grainy. It would go in. It would go out. You didn't know what was going on. It looked like one of those old Sylvania TV sets, you know, that you, I swear it reminded me of that. But it's coming. There's no question. Streaming is coming. Now, if that's the way people want to get their information, so be it. But you have to have the option to watch the game on a regular over-the-air channel. And then if you want to do it on Facebook, that's your business.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, the MLB has no idea how many people are just not really joining the modern age. They'll look at the internet occasionally, but they're not living and dying, and they're certainly not streaming their sports events. I mean, I've always been baffled by somebody. If you have the choice, why would you rather watch something on your phone or your iPad when you got a big screen, you know, and the sofa? I'll never understand that. And I'm fairly hip to social media, but I insist, you know, I'll watch everything on TV. I don't care if I have to watch it later. It's got to be on the tube.
Yeah, so we'll see where that goes. But I thought it was a bad experiment. I really
terrible.
Did. I didn't think it came off well at all. But we'll talk to Rich and see what he thinks about it. So with all that said, and you know, here, let's get back to baseball a little bit, the rhythm of a season, which you and I love. It is May the 12th. Mother's Day is tomorrow. We haven't even gotten near Memorial Day yet. Giants are 19-20. They've had an awful week of new baseball and striking out like crazy, but they're still 5.5 back.
Yeah, I was looking at that. I mean, it's such the forecasts are getting dire now. They're terrible. They're done. They're not going to do anything. But you have to look at the reality of it. You know, they're 2.5 games against the Dodgers over the Dodgers. They were supposed to win it, win the whole thing going away. 5.5 games is really nothing. It's doable. You know, they're a couple games behind Colorado, and you know, of course, it doesn't look like a championship season for the Giants. But to rule them out of contention, I think it's a little early for that. You know, what do you believe? What they did in Atlanta or what they did in Philly? It's bizarre. But they, you know, the biggest thing, you know, I just hope it's not too late when they get, you know, if they ever get Bumgarner and Cueto in the rotation at the same time. You know, things are going to look different. You just hope that they can hang on and not be out of it by then.
Yeah, and that's what the summer is all about, and that's what baseball is all about, and you have to be patient with it. How about the dark night, Matt Harvey, last night for the Cincinnati Reds? Of all places, he ends up in Cincinnati. Tom Seaver, how about him? He went from the Mets to Cincinnati. Here's the dark night, Cincinnati in L.A., and he pitched a great game.
Yeah, he went from the Russian tea room to Skyline Chili there. It's a big drop-off. He looked okay. He hung a couple of breaking balls. The fastball wasn't really that lively, but he didn't allow a run, and that's the starting point for him. You know, he's been humbled here. He sounded that way in the interviews. He's certainly not coming off as the cocky New York guy who's getting everybody out, and he's a dark night and everything else. He's in a bit of a dark night right now, and he's got to turn the lights on. But he's, you know, this is the start of his comeback. And, you know, he's a kind of a – there's a bit of charisma to the guy. I mean, you know, it was great to watch him when he was dominating and starting the All-Star game. And, you know, I hope he comes well. It's a better game if he's doing well.
Yeah, we got to see him on Wednesday. Have you been in the Russian tea room? I've actually been in
there. Yeah, I had a cup of tea for $48.
Yeah, I did, really. It was great. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, a little small sandwich, a cup of tea, and you just leave your wallet and all the credit cards right
there. Yeah, just take all the money.
I always said, you know, I used to do this when I was practicing law. We'd go away for like Wednesday to Sunday. And I said, all right, it's just they have their own money in New York. You just use their money, whatever it is, and you forget about it. That was it.
Yeah. After that, I went to the Carnegie Deli and had a Marty Lurie sandwich, and everything got better.
Oh, yeah, I used to do that, too. Come on. Now, that was my last tongue sandwich was at the Carnegie Deli.
There you go.
I thought I was going to Bellevue about 3 in the morning after that.
That's the one thing I miss about not being on the beat is that I don't get to go to New York.
Really?
You know, three or four days there, man, you're all good.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens today. McCutcheon got a nice ovation last night, and it's Chad Kuhl today and Jeff Samardzija. And, you know, they got to dig deep here. And, you know, you want to win a game. You want to win a game today.
Well, let's just say they win today. I got them winning 8-4 today. That's my prediction.
All right, I like it. All right, well, we'll see. And, you know, then the Reds come in, Colorado. How about Colorado at home? They can't win at home, and they're going nuts on the road.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all. It's so vintage, you know, baseball. I mean, Atlanta's leading the East. The Nationals have been struggling. They're getting it back together. The Dodgers are really awful. I mean, they're just spinning out of control, disaster right now. And, you know, that's what's great about it. And that's why you can't rule out the Giants. And, the Rockies, sometimes with that lineup, I'm amazed they lose any games when Blackman and Arenado are going off. But all good, Marty.
Yeah. All right. Have a great afternoon, and we'll chat with you early tomorrow morning. Okay.
All right. Talk to you
Thanks,
then, Marty.
Bruce. Okay. That is a great Bruce Jenkins. Always our pleasure to have him on.